This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And welcome to the Wednesday Talk Show on this 24th day of April. Filling in for Tobinot, I am Tim Mies. Alongside is Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Coming up, we will talk with Mickey Robinson and Joe Thiemann, the Assistant Superintendent of Schools at Gillespie. We will do that following this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we know firsthand just how difficult the passing of a beloved family member can be. Losing a loved one is never easy, but there is a simple way to lift some of the burdens from your family. Come by Plummer Funeral Home and we'll help you make your final arrangements in advance. We'll record your choices and help you plan a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
We're back here on the Wednesday Talk Show. A rainy Wednesday across Mid-Illinois, and joining us right now is Mickey Robinson and Joe Thiemann, the assistant superintendent at Gillespie Schools. And Joe, thank you for coming in on the talk show today, and I guess always a busy time of the year for folks in the education business as the school year is winding down.
Definitely. Thanks, Tim, for having me on. You're right. We're within, about 5 weeks or so of school ending, so that drives a lot of things. For example, high school graduation, which we'll have our seniors, about approximately 80 seniors graduating on Sunday, May 19th. And also as we speak, for those of you that know a little bit about this, our juniors across the state, not just in our school, yesterday and today are involved in PSAE testing, the Prairie State Achievement Exam, which is a big deal. It's how your school is judged, at least your high school is judged. So we have a lot of juniors, hopefully as we speak, doing very well on testing. So it is a busy time of the year.
And there's always been a number of state tests that have been involved. Is that now kind of the, I guess, the number one test that it comes down to?
Right. What it is, it's a two-day test. The ACT that some of our listeners may have taken, I know I took too many years ago to count, is day one. That was yesterday. That's really a college entrance exam. And what's called a work keys test is what our juniors take today. It's geared more towards workplace skills. They combine those two and call it the Prairie State Achievement Exam. So that's essentially for high school the one test that your school's held accountable and quite frankly judged on. So,
and is this, I'm sure it is, but all the schools are doing this today and tomorrow, or they do it at various times, or these exams, is it everybody taking them the same 2 days?
Right, Ralph. Everyone across the state takes those on the same 2 days. Now, a student individually can take the ACT, the American College Test, as many times as they would like. So we have some kids that take it as early as February of their junior year, so they've taken it already. They could take it again in June. They could take it again as a senior. And then, of course, their best score is what would be sent to universities.
Joe, I'm just curious you're obviously an educator. You have been in education for a long time. When school funding gets tied to state tests like this, opposed to actual maybe report card grades, because I know when I was in high school, when you take these state tests, it's like a day off.
Right.
You know, I don't think kids take the test maybe as seriously as they do their actual classwork. So I'm just curious, is that a concern from the education standpoint that maybe the funding for these schools is being placed in the wrong areas based on the wrong things?
Well, sure. You know, one thing, we at Gillespie have no fear of the standardized test as long as it's only one factor in how your school is judged. For instance, we have, I believe, a great chorus program, a great choral music program. In theory, you can teach some math and some reading, but really their performance, their hard work is really not judged on a state or school report card. Even your athletic programs, how much effort goes into that. Work ethic in general. Some kids are not good test takers. So I don't know if the public is aware, as a high school in the state of Illinois, you're judged on two things and two things only. Well, three, really. What are your math scores on that PSAE? What are your reading scores on that PSAE? And what is your high school graduation rate? Nothing else goes on that report card that the public and the state of Illinois and ultimately the federal government hold you accountable for. However, change is coming in that area, I must point out. as we move towards a new set of standards called Common Core Standards. The assessment system, the way we're doing it now, even this year, may go away, and there may be a different component to it.
And, of course, those are very important skills as youngsters progress and graduate from high school and go on to college and stuff, especially math and reading. Those are two things that it's pretty tough to do without.
No doubt, Ralph. I mean, those are the two sort of, you know, kingpins there. But, for example, I find it strange you're not held accountable for science scores
mm-hmm.
in the state of Illinois. That there's a science component to the ACT, but you're not judged on science scores or social studies scores or health or even writing, any of those kind of things, and that may all change. But without question, the new Common Core Standards are certainly based in language arts and reading, English language arts referred to, and mathematics.
And you mentioned another interesting facet of it all, the percentage of graduates is also important to you as a school and also to the individual. And, you know, if you're going to school, and sometimes this is overlooked, but if you're going to school, you better take advantage of it and get everything you can.
Sure. And you know, if you take it even one more step, the graduation part being very important, we've started, and most high schools have, really with a four-year plan. So as students are transitioning from eighth grade to freshman year, hey, you have 4 years, you have eight semesters. Here are the things that the state requires you to do. Here are the things that Gillespie High School requires you to do. But here's some things over here that you might want to start looking at. If you're going into engineering, you think, or you have an inkling you might, here are the classes you need to prepare yourself. That by far, I was a high school principal for 7 years, that by far was the biggest mistake. Kids and parents who said, hey, I don't want to push my kids into upper-level math and science, for example, because I don't think that they're going to need it. And then when they get to the university level, they're taking those remedial courses, so on and so forth. So trying to get our kids to get on university websites or Blackburn College's website or Lewis and Clark, what do you need within that program to be successful on the secondary level? That's where things have really shifted, where when you and I were in school, Ralph, it was more about just that high school diploma. And, in fact, you weren't required to take the ACT. In the state of Illinois, to graduate from high school, you must take the PSAE, regardless of your ability level. So we have students that we're judged on that may have a reading level as a junior in high school, but they may read at a third grade level. They may have that test read to them, but that scores were held accountable as well. So it's changing rapidly.
And when you go out in the real world, so to speak, as an adult, and you get a job, you know, if it is something in the engineering field or something like that, and you have poor reading skills, then you're really up against it. How are you going to read a blueprint or anything else?
Absolutely, which kind of segues into what I believe we have at Gillespie as a strong vocational program. And the push in of math principles and reading principles that were usually often historically left out of the vocational, the wood shop, the welding courses. Now there's a push in for that. And our vocational teachers have been outstanding in getting those standards put into place also while you learn to weld and while you learn to build a house and all those other things. And we've been pretty successful in placing kids in employment and or placing them in places like Rankin or ITT Tech where they can, you know, in an 18-month or 24-month program, 20 years old, and they're out in that workforce and making a living, I think is a great thing also.
Joe Thiemann, the assistant superintendent at Gillespie, joining us here on the Wednesday Talk Show. And, Joe, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, that kids today, when they get into high school, they have a little better idea of maybe the career path they want to take than maybe they did, say, 15, 20 years ago.
Sure, and, you know, I think part of that is twofold. I think we're more aggressive in the guidance department now doing that. But I think technology alone, you know, a parent can sit at home now and access any university website they want and access our website and kind of have an idea of where their kids are going to go. You know, as a parent, I've been involved in that twice. I have a daughter that's a junior in college at Mizzou, and I have a daughter who will graduate this year from Gillespie on her way to Western Illinois University in the nursing program. And my wife and I, early on, she's an educator as well, where do you, you know, what program do you think you want to be in? Where do you want to go? What does that program at that university ask you to do? For example, some programs say to graduate from University of Missouri School of Journalism, you must have 4 years of a foreign language. Well, my daughter took those 4 years at Gillespie. You don't take those 4 years at Gillespie. You're taking them somewhere. Different programs, the nursing program, for example, at Western, only required two. So that's the kind of thing, Tim, I think you're talking about. But the technology is what's changed rapidly. You just have it at your fingertips, and we really impress upon our parents, get on there. And if not, if you need some help, we'll help them do that.
And the technology aspect is a good segue into really one of the main reasons you're here, talking about the new school building that's going to be opening up very shortly in Gillespie, pre-K through 5. And this building, it's state-of-the-art.
It is state-of-the-art. You know, we're coming to the end of a long journey. It's hard to believe, but it's over 4 years ago that we suffered the mine subsidence in March of 2009. We believe our building will be done about in mid-May, maybe late May, and we will certainly move into it over the summer and hold classes next August. You talked about technology. Every classroom will have a Promethean board. They're often referred to as smart boards, and teachers are changing their curriculum. We're investigating the idea of how many actual computers, whatever form we're going to have in kids' hands, whether that's an iPad, a learning pad, those kind of things, too. We're kind of taking our time with that. And also, we had talked about, in terms of technology security, in light of some tragic events in our country in the last few months, and actually, I guess, last decade or so, we certainly investigated how can we make that school safe as we can. So all those doors will be what are referred to as restricted access. You will not be able to just walk in our school. You will not be able to just walk in one of our hallways. You'll have to be buzzed in an exterior door electronically by personnel. Once you're inside, you must check into the office because there will be another door that's electronically controlled. We'll have state-of-the-art camera system in there, security system, and we will also have a card system, a card reading system that really restricts even personnel from going to certain parts of that building. And I might add, we have a great relationship with our local police department. They're on scene often, and they patrol by our schools, and we talk to them, if not on a daily basis, certainly a weekly basis. So technology is key, and in the building of the actual building itself, the construction also.
When we speak of technology, my hat goes off to you and all the educators today, because technology is moving so fast. Tim and I are both old farm boys, and how when I started farming in 1950 and they're farming today, It's just a total new ball game, and this is true of everything. So, excuse me, has to be tough to keep up. It really has, an educator.
And one of the good things about the school is it's a green energy school.
Correct,
as well.
Correct. Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit. We have put that school in play with the idea of conserving as much energy as we can. That goes from everything to where the footprint of the building was based on where the sun hits, certain kind of windows. Actually, the ceilings in the rooms are at an angle to catch the sunlight. Lights turn off and on their own, even parts of a room. You could have a row of lights turn off because there aren't any students in that row under the light, so the light's not sensing any human beings, for example. So yeah, all of that. And by the way, it will have geothermal energy, so we'll be using a ground source energy to heat and cool that building. So there are a lot of different things that we're doing, and we're working with our architect and with actually another architectural firm to make it as green as possible. And when you do that, there's grant money out there for that. So there's a potential savings based on putting those kind of components in place.
And do you have the figures for the grant money that was received for the school and those types of figures, or are those still kind of fluctuating.
Well, they do move all the time. Those do, but the big grant, so people are aware, is that the state of Illinois and the Capital Development Board have funded 75% of the construction of the school, and that is in the area somewhere between $19 and $20 million. We did sell bonds. The district did sell bonds for the rest of the cost of the school district. So we thank the state of Illinois. And I don't know if they're getting many thanks these days, but we do want to thank the Capital Development Board and the taxpayers across the state who have helped fund that project.
And people may think, boy, that's a lot of money. But all the things you just named off, the green energy, the technology, and maybe for most importantly people now, safety. You know that when you send your kid to this school, they're going to be safe.
Sure. And the other thing to remember is quite unique with our school is we grouted the old coal mine underneath. That was an approximately $4 to $4.5 million project in itself to literally fill up an old coal mine with concrete so you could build a school on top of it. So that's part of the cost also.
I live in Bunker Hill, so I drove by every day and just watched them just dump it. I mean, they dumped concrete, like
yes,
you said, just
did.
For a long, long time, but they had an end to their means.
Right. And so the whole idea is there that we will not lose another school as we did in March of 2009.
So you've mentioned that this building that will be opening up for the next school year is for pre-K through fifth grade. And I would imagine those students in those grades will be happy to get out of the temporary trailers they've been in.
Sure. You know, we were very lucky to end up with what we refer to as modulars, because it's actually school in of itself. You know, the common reference that you make is trailers. It's really one big unit. And the corporation, the company is M-Space out of New York. And so it came in about 36 different parts, but it seemed together in one. And those house grades 2 through 5 are our pre-K grades 2 through 5. Our first in kindergarten and first grade are actually in the middle school, which bumped the middle school down to part of the high school. So we'll be able to recover some of that space. The kids have been awesome. And, you know, for kids in high school, it's all they've known.
Right.
And for kids grades 2 through 5, it's all they've known. So when they're able to walk into this building, when we have the first day of class, I until you see it, you can't believe it. It's state of the art. It's beautiful. It's big. We've tried to accommodate for everything we think could happen. We've accommodated for growth. We think there'll be growth in our district. So, very, very excited. And teachers as well that have had to make a lot of changes and adaptations, I think, are thrilled.
And there's going to be a pretty neat open house for this
building,
correct?
Right. That's tentatively will be sometime in September. I don't want to give that date away quite yet. We want to make sure that's the route we're going. But there will be an open house, we think, on a weekend, probably a Sunday afternoon, so that people don't have to miss work, that kind of thing. It will probably be a few weeks after school starts. We'll get kids in, so on and so forth. So we're really excited.
Joe Thiemann, the assistant superintendent at Gillespie, joining us here on the Wednesday Talk Show. And Mickey Robinson's in the studio. I think this is the longest he's ever been quiet. Just sitting over there, just
I looked
patiently
over there,
waiting for his time.
I looked over there, thought he was asleep.
Well, he did have his hand up at one point. You might want to call on him.
Yeah.
Mickey, go ahead.
Thank you. You asked the question I was asking about the open house. That's what I wanted to see, where he was going to, if he was going to announce that or share it with us, and he did. So it's just a matter of still on schedule in a couple weeks after school there. But it's amazing what you're saying, and just I'm from like the old school too. Talking about all this stuff here makes me feel like I want to go back to school, I think.
Whoa.
But I don't know if they'll allow me in there, because everybody knows me.
All he needed.
And Mr. Thiemann is already smiling, getting red there. And I can see I'm not going to get invited.
Well, I don't know about that.
All Mick needed when he went to school was a slate board and a piece of chalk.
You mentioned the smart boards that are in this school.
Yeah.
A far cry from the blackboards or stone tablets you guys had when you were in school.
Yeah.
I guess these smart boards, we're running out of time here on the Wednesday Talk Show. And we thank you very much for coming in, Joe. But a smart board like that, I mean, that can add so much to the educational experience.
Right. And you know, one thing, they've become so state-of-the-art that the kids interact with that as well. So, you know, you could have, and I've seen this, you could have a student go up to the smart board, and it's a touch screen. So not only is the teacher teaching from it, students, young as third grade, I've seen are teaching from it. And or you link the individual tablets and iPads, which are becoming much more affordable, you link it up there so that the teacher's teaching from it. It is unbelievable. We need to do a lot of training on it, but still, it's pretty exciting. Things have definitely changed from my days in school.
When will Gillespie graduation be?
It will be at 2 o'clock Sunday, May 19th.
And what do you guys know yet what the graduating class will be?
It will be, we think, about 79, 80 students, which is about average for us. We run anywhere from 80 to 95 in a given year.
And you mentioned that you do think your enrollment will be on the uptick over the next several years with this new building.
Definitely.
What they will also want to know, the kids especially, who are not listening, I hope, what is the last day of school? Have that been worked out yet?
Yes. The last day of school will be May 29th, which is a Thursday, which is commonly referred to as report card day. It's a shortened day. For the last time, state of Illinois is next year. You go the full day. But anyway, so that is Thursday, May 29th.
And the weather doesn't exactly feel like springtime, but how many snow days did Gillespie wind up using this year?
We used four of our five. And now when I say May 29th, you end up with a water main break and you lose a day of school, and now that becomes May 30th. So anyway, right now it's May 29th is what actually the board Monday night, our Board of Education, approved that revised calendar.
Throw a last thing in here.
Don't call me Tobin.
No, thank you. Mr. Blue. The Cole Country Chamber of Commerce wants to thank Mr. Thiemann for coming in. Also, we thank you for allowing us and our sponsor of the day. And also one thing we want to plug, which what I like to do, is plug the Tour de Cole Bike Ride. That's going to be on Saturday, September 28th, always on the fourth Saturday in there, and it will start at 7 o'clock. The thing is, you can go to our website, coldcountrychamber.com, to get more information and download an application if you want to start thinking about that.
Mickey Robinson and Joe Thiemann, thank you so much for joining us on the Wednesday Talk Show. For Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. We'll talk to you next week.